Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here for another amazing day at Crossings Community Church. Can we just thank God for this privilege that He gives us? What a wonderful privilege to worship Him. And I'm so thrilled to be here. For those of you who I have not met, I'm Mark Youngblood, and I serve as pastor of Missions Ministry, but I also serve as a location pastor at the Community Center. And I'm grateful to Marty for the opportunity that he's giving me today to share today's message. And you know that we are continuing our series, How's That Working For You? So I learned a very valuable lesson the first time that I applied for my first full-time job. I know, that was just yesterday. I filled out the application. And I filled it out as best I could, having no previous full-time work experience. I put on on the application a couple of references that I knew would say something positive about me. I submitted it, and then I prayed. Well, after 6 months, they must have really had to check me out, right? After 6 months, I heard from them, and called me in for an interview, and I was so thrilled that they offered me the job, and I got a chance to go to work for them, and I ended up working for them for many years. But early after I joined the workforce with them, I ran across a person who I knew, but I didn't know that person worked there. And I said, wow, so glad to have you here. Didn't know you were here. But then the person surprised me and said, you didn't know I was here, but I knew you were coming. I'm like, what? How did you know? I didn't even know I was coming. And the person told me that, we were in a year-long training class together, and they saw something in your application that told them that I knew something about you. And so they asked me, what do you think about this guy? Do you think he would be a great asset for our organization? So the person went on to tell me that I gave you a glowing reference. What's the deal? Or people ask, they check with references that you don't have on your paper. Is that a thing? So the person said, I gave you a glowing reference and told them that I believe you would be a great addition to this organization. So I learned something. The very valuable lesson I learned was that someone was working for me, even though I didn't know it, and even though I didn't see it. But you know, I would come to discover in the years after that, that there was someone even greater working for me then. And that same someone has been working for me ever since. And oftentimes, I don't see him working for me. Oftentimes, I don't feel him working for me. Oftentimes, I can't even fathom the fact that he's willing to work for me. But he's working for me over and over and over again. And I'm sharing with you this same one that has been working for me for years. It also offers himself to work for you as well. And it is the greatest one of all, God himself, that says, I will work for you. Here's the valuable lesson. How that's working for you has a direct connection to who's working for you. Oh. So God says in Romans 8 and 28, look at what it says there from the New International Version. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Listen, God desires the best for us, and he works for our good. We can intentionally live the full and meaningful lives that God has made possible through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has already paved the way. He's already prepared the path for us to live a full and meaningful life in Jesus Christ. And here's what's so amazing to me. I discovered that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, in order for us to realize all that he has in store for us. I just love to give God praise for being willing to work for us and in us, for us to experience all that he has for us. Okay, but let's come to reality. Let's come to our everyday reality. What I just told you is real, but we have an everyday reality. We started a new year. And some of us came into this new year really excited. Oh man, we're ready to go. We're ready to take the bull, as it were, by the horns and ride through this new year. Oh, but some of us entered the new year exhausted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I want to talk specifically to those today who entered this new year with a significant amount of fear and anxiety. See, in fear, we feel the threat of pain, danger, or harm. And when we're feeling anxiety, we feel uneasy and nervous about the uncertainties of the future. So today I want to take a fresh look at fears and anxieties that may be keeping us from experiencing all that God has for us. So if you'll just come with me the next few minutes and just focus on our topic, overcoming fear and anxiety. See, many people live with consuming fear and anxiety. Although a healthy amount of both can be helpful and it can warrant an action on our part, they can also be used as a powerful weapon of the enemy against us. When they become irrational, all-consuming, they can cause us to get stuck in worry, which is not where God wants us to be. Maybe as an offshoot of our sermon series topic, I might ask you the question, how is worry working for you? Just how is worry really working for you? See, consuming fear and anxiety can negatively affect our physical and mental health. It's real. It can affect our family, friend, and work relationships. But here's one of the things that I discovered. Maybe it will help you. And that is that fear and anxiety can indicate an area or aspect of our lives where we need to trust God. Maybe we're going through what we're going through because God is calling on us to now trust him with this area, or trust him with this particular aspect of our life. Lord, I have trusted you with my finances, and you've taken care of my finances. They're pretty good. Lord, I've trusted you with that difficult family relationship, and you've worked on that pretty good. But Lord, now I have this other challenge. I have this other difficulty. I now have this other disaster knocking on my door. And God may be calling us to trust him even with this. See, God cares about us. God cares immensely for each and every one of us. And when God cares for us, that means he cares about every area and every aspect of our lives. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And if you're like me, I read passages like that in the Bible. I read them and then I ask myself a question. How's that possible? How is it done? Lord, how can I do that? I see what you're saying. You're saying cast it on me. You're saying just throw it over to me. You're saying, Mark, I don't need you to shoulder this by yourself. I never designed you to shoulder this by yourself. I hear your instruction, but Lord, I'm asking you, but God gives us an answer in Philippians 4, which is our key verse today. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says this. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Quick disclaimer, I am focusing on the foundation for overcoming fear and anxiety today. And I give you that disclaimer because the full structure of overcoming fear and anxiety will include additional elements. It will include other biblical principles. It will include other biblical practices. It will include other people. It can include family members. It can include people in our community of faith here at Crossings and other communities of faith. It can even include professional counseling. So I am not in any way saying those things are not very, very important. What I am saying today is that the effectiveness of those additional elements will be weakened without the foundation we are talking about today. Because God primarily says, don't be anxious about anything. But he says, in every situation, let your requests be made known to me. See, we can even invite God to show us anything that makes us anxious. I'll share a quick story with you because it relates to you. You're in this story. Those of you who were here at this time, you might see yourself in this. So in May of 2019, it was early in May, like the second week of May in 2019, we were in this room. We were over here on this side of the room, and we were here for an amazing worship experience. It ended, and Pastor Marty was sitting right here in the front row. I was sitting about two or three rows back. We go up to greet him. Wow, that was amazing. Pastor, and then he says to me, Mark, would you be willing to speak here at Crossings on May 26th? And it was May 26th, 2019. So maybe you might be able to relate to this. I had never spoken here before. I'd spoken in other places, but I'd never spoken at Crossing. I'd spoken to other people, but I'd never spoken to you. I couldn't even muster up enough confidence in the moment to just say yes. I didn't tell him yes. I admit that. What I said to him is what I had been trained to do. I said, Marty, if you want me to speak on May 26th, I will be here. And I will speak. So outwardly, that's what Marty saw. Inwardly, me and my wife knew I was the the water underneath the water. My feet were going like this. What am I going to do, Lord? And then it just started coming upon me, and I started having these questions. I'm talking to myself now, Lord. What? I don't know most of them at that time. I didn't know many of you. I've never spoken there before, Lord. Well, what if they don't accept me? I told you you're in it. Oh, by the way, in case you haven't noticed yet in telling this story, you can be a little intimidating. Just a little. So I didn't know. What if they don't accept me? What if I'm not good enough? Lord, I've been listening to Marty, and Marty does such an amazing job on that stage. We did it mostly here in the sanctuary. We saw how calm he was. Marty can get a phone call in the middle of his message, and it doesn't interrupt him. He just keeps on going, turns it off, and he's just calm and just keeps speaking. Lord, that man is amazing. And I'm praying about it. I'm doing a lot of prayer. But I remember God giving me a sense as I was praying. He says this to me. I got this clear message. It wasn't verbal, but in my spirit, I got this message. God said to me, Mark, I did not create you and call you to be Marty. I created you and I called you to be Mark. Now that was the message for me, but it's a message for each and every one of you. See, God didn't create you to be them. God created you and called you to be you. God has given you gifts just like he has given me gifts, and he's called us together in community to exercise our gifts, to serve each other, to minister to each other so that we can grow in the faith and develop more into the likeness of Jesus Christ together. And guess what? Your gift is just as important as my gift. I may get to stand up here and share this message with you, but guess what? Whether you're an usher or whether you're somewhere else in ministry, it is just as valuable as what I'm doing here this morning in the eyes of God. You're just as important to God. You're just as important. And God sees what you do. So we can invite God to show us. He showed me what my anxiety was. And he blessed me to be able to stand up here that day. Well, I guess it turned out all right since he has me back up here today. Maybe that's okay. So in Philippians 4:6, he says, don't be anxious about anything. So we can invite God to show us anything that is the source of our anxiety. God can show us what we cannot see on our own. And see, we would be taking the same path that David did when he talked to the Lord that is recorded in Psalm 139 and 23. Where he invited God to show him anything that was a source of his anxiety. He says, search me, God, and know my anxious heart, know my heart, and test me and know my anxious thoughts. We can pause and ask ourselves, Lord, what is it that's keeping me from what you want from me? What is it that's keeping me from taking this next step to draw me closer to you and closer to others? What is it, Lord? We can pause and ask ourselves, but there's an even more powerful action that we can take. We can follow David's example, and we can pause and ask God, God, show me, search me and show me, Lord. That thing that's got me paralyzed and stuck in worry. See, with God's help, we can find out what underlying fear or anxiety is consuming us and keeping us from God's best. I got a question for you. What action, activity, person, or thing are you avoiding that would help you grow and develop more as God desires? See, we can be sure God's not the one who gave us that fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But let me quickly say, just because God has given us this power doesn't mean that fear and anxiety won't come knocking at your door. Another thing I want you to be aware of today is that even though you've had great achievements previously, it doesn't mean that disaster, difficulty, and even the threat of death won't find its way to your doorstep. My example is 1 Kings chapter number 18, the mighty prophet Elijah. The short version is, you go back and read the whole chapter, but the short version is the people of God, they were wavering upon two opinions. Is God the true and living God, God, or is this false God, Baal God? So the prophet Elijah said, here's what we're going to do. Meet me at Mount Carmel. There were 450 prophets of Baal and one Elijah. And he said, meet me at Mount Carmel. And what we're going to do, we're going to provide an animal sacrifice. And we're going to let the one who is God show us who's God. The Bible says that Elijah gave the prophets of Baal first opportunity to call on their God. It says that they called on their false God from morning to evening. And you know what they heard from their God? Oh, we put it this way. They heard crickets. Crickets. Nothing. So Elijah started having a little fun. He said, well, maybe your God is busy. Maybe your God is traveling or somehow otherwise tied up. That's why you haven't heard it. Why don't you shout loud? Or maybe you can get his attention, your God's attention. So they went on from then noon to evening. They started cutting themselves, trying to get the false God's attention. And they heard, now y'all help me here. They heard what? Crickets, nothing. So then it was Elijah's turn. Elijah stacked the deck against himself. He put some stones around there to represent the various tribes of Israel. He also had them dig a trench around the place where the animal sacrifice was being laid. And he said this three times, pour water in it. They poured water in it three times. So much water that water was overflowing from the trenches. And then the Bible says that Elijah prayed. And it goes on to say that fire from heaven came and it consumed the animal sacrifice, but it didn't stop there. It burned up the wood, it burned up the stones, it burned up the soil, and it even licked up the water that was overflowing from the trenches. God showed himself to be the true and the living God. And this mighty prophet Elijah was there to experience an amazing achievement. But then the prophets of Baal were summoned to death. They were killed. Elijah said, get rid of them. King Ahab told Jezebel, his wife. And Jezebel said to Elijah, 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3, said to Elijah, far be it from me. If God does not have you in the same condition, meaning dead, as those prophets who just died. In other words, she said to Elijah, you're going to die by this time tomorrow. Now, here's the point I want you to get. What did this mighty prophet do? In verse number 3, the Bible says that Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. But I love what happened between First Kings chapter number 19 and beginning at verse number 4. Elijah ran, but he could not outrun the presence of Almighty God. Elijah pray a prayer that some of us may sometime feel like praying. Elijah prayed a prayer and he said to God, Lord, I'm done. I'm just done. Elijah said, I just want to die. I don't have any more to offer. It's over. And what God did was he responded to Elijah by feeding him. He fed him not just once, but he fed him twice. He gave Elijah strength to go to the place called the Mountain of God. And then God presents himself. The Bible says there was a wind, mighty wind. God wasn't in it. The Bible said there was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. Then it said that there was a great fire, but God wasn't in the fire. But then Elijah heard a gentle whisper. And God says to Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing stuck in this place alone? And Elijah told him, Lord, I've been serving you. I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. But now Jezebel said she's going to kill me. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. I'm done, Lord. Here's what God said. Maybe he's whispering that to someone in this room. I want you to listen for God's whisper. Maybe he's whispering to you. I'm not finished with you yet. Yeah, I understand it. You're not able to do what you once were able to do. I understand that some people have walked out on you in your life. I understand there's difficulty and disaster that you have experienced. I understand it, but I am not finished with you yet. I understand you're older than you used to be. If you're like me, you can't jump as high as you used to jump. You can't run as fast as you used to run. I know I look like I can, but not as fast as I used to run. I know I look like it. But he says, Mark, Susie, David, Johnny, I'm not finished with you yet. He told Elijah to get back in action and go back and to anoint people like God had charged him to do in the first place. God was not finished with him yet. What I want you to take away from that. Please take away from it that we can include God in everything. Philippians 4 and 6 says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We can acknowledge the source of our anxiety, but don't stop at just acknowledging the source of your anxiety. Activate your faith by taking everything to God in prayer. This is one of the things that I have come to discover. In God's instructions, do not fear and do not be anxious is a call to activate our faith in him. When God tells us do not fear and when God tells us do not be anxious, guess what? He's the one that can make sure that that fear and that anxiety does not control us and consume us. He has the wherewithal to make a difference in our lives. So he's calling upon us in that moment to activate our faith in him. I like to think of it this way. Prayer is God's prescription for anxiety. If you're like me, doctor tells me to take a prescription. Now, I do read the side effects just to make sure I know what I'm getting into. But if a doctor tells me to take a prescription, guess what? I'm taking it. Can I ask us another question? Why is it when God gives us a prescription, we got to question it? Philippians 4, 6 is his prescription to anxiety. He said, just give it to me, everything to me. See, we can know and stand on God's word. What we see with our eyes and feel in our circumstances is less important than the truth of God's word. Oh, let me just share with you, God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. We are who God says we are. We can have what God says we can have, and we can do what God says we can do. I'll prove it to you. It's just a shortcoming. Remember when Peter walked on the water in Matthew chapter number 14, they were in the boat, they saw this, what they thought was a ghost on the water. Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's me. Peter said, if it's you, call me to walk on the water with you. And all Jesus said was come. Now, one word. It's not how many words. It is the fact that the word came from the Lord himself. He said, come. And the Bible said that Peter walked on the water. Yeah, we know the story that as long as Peter stayed on the focus of God's word and kept his eyes on Jesus, Peter was walking, pretty amazing, walking on water. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. But aren't you glad the story didn't end with Peter drowning? I'm the only one. I said, I'm glad. It'd be a whole other sermon if it ended with Peter drowning. That's a different one. No. Peter called out, Lord, save me. And the Bible says that immediately Jesus rescued Peter and got him back in the boat. There might be someone drowning today. You might feel like you're going down for the last time, but there is a Lord. His name is Jesus Christ himself that says you don't have to drown in your fear and your anxiety. You don't have to drown in your worry. I'm here to rescue you and get you right back in the boat that I called you to be here. I'm asking us to refuse to focus on our current or coming storms. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And we can do it not only with the big things, but also with the basic things. In Matthew 6 and 25, remember what Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're gonna eat. Don't worry about what you're gonna drink. Don't worry about what you're gonna wear. Jesus, what am I supposed to do? Well, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Look at what he says. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love the way Corey Tim Bloom said it. It's pretty much Jesus' word. She says this, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry won't overcome fear and anxiety, but praying in faith will. We can receive God's peace in all things. Philippians 4 and 7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me just do this real quickly. I just want you to notice something. And that is, notice that the result of what we pray is not where the peace comes from. Look at the verse for yourself. All God says to us is he says, make the request. He didn't say wait on the result. You see, make the request, and then he gives us his peace. So we have placed it in God's hands, and now we can have peace. Why can we have so much confidence going into this year, in any year, any day, and any week? It's because we have a connection with Christ, a loving connection with Christ that never ends. Romans 8 and 35 says this. Apostle Paul asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And then he drops down to say in Romans 8, 38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the action steps. I'm asking all of us, invite God to show us anything that might be the source of our anxiety. Include God in everything, and then receive God's peace in all things. Apostle Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The peace of God comes through the peace with God that is only available in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 8:11 and 28, Jesus himself says, come, there's that word again, come to me, all of you, every one of you who are weary and burdened. And he says, I will give you rest. We can give our lives and everything that our lives consist of to Jesus and experience his peace and his rest no matter what we face in this journey.
He's making it available to us. Now, I'm going to offer a short prayer. And then I'm going to ask us to hear a song that puts into perspective what I just spoke about today. And allow God to work through you to reflect and apply what we just talked about. Father, thank you that we can bring everything to you, that it is all yours. We thank you, Father, that you have made yourself available to us and that you've allowed us to cast every fear, every anxiety onto you. And we thank you that we get to trust you no matter what we go through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.